Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, and we'll be glad to address your question or offer direction for the difficult, frustrating issues of real life. Call now, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. It is Basic Gospel. And now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. As we start out most every program, the good news is simply this: Jesus Christ is alive. That is the central piece of the Christian faith. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, our faith would be futile. We would still be in our sins. Christianity would just be a forgotten philosophy. But Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He is alive today, and for those who know him, who have come to faith in him, Jesus Christ lives in their hearts. Boy, talk about good news, to be able to go through life with the very presence of God with you every step of the way. That gives hope, that gives power, that gives everything that you need for life and godliness right now. And this life that we have in Christ is experienced through the new covenant. Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So this new covenant is a ministry of life, and it flows from the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. He comes to live inside of us and lives his life through us. That was an impossibility under the old covenant, but so many of us just drift back to that old way, trying through human effort to please God, trying through human effort to make our place in this world, trying through human effort to get acceptance from each other. But that is just a ministry of death, and that's exactly what Paul said. Now, if the ministry that brought death, that's the letter. And he goes on to really show us what he's talking about. He says, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone. What in the world is Paul talking about there? The Ten Commandments. He is saying that those Ten Commandments are actually a ministry of death. We can put them out in front of us. We can try to live up to those ten, but they're going to speak back to us words of judgment, words of condemnation, and words of death. That's the language of the law. You have heard it. You have listened to it. It's haunted you most of your life. That's why this new covenant is so fresh and so wonderful and so exciting, because it brings to you the actual words of life. Yeah. That's what we're looking for. That's the good news that we need. And it's contained, wrapped up in this new covenant that Jesus ushered in the day he died and ratified this new covenant with his blood.
Yes, indeed. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. We'd love to hear from you, let you pose your question or your particular issue. We have open lines right now for you at 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. All the time on the clock, and all the lines are available right now, and we're on the air live so that you can take part of the program and do just exactly that. Pose your question or your particular issue. We'd love to discuss it with you on this edition of Basic Gospel. 844-32-BASIC. Bob, a question from Joanne, who writes to us from the New York area. Listens to our great New York area affiliate, WMCA. She says, thank you so much for your program. I want to know what God's stance is on remarriage. I know what the Bible says about divorce, but I go back and forth because the church, as the body of Christ, has different interpretations. Some churches preach that what you did before salvation is under the blood of Jesus, so you can remarry. Another says it's okay to remarry if the spouse cheated on you, and that another that no marriage unless the spouse dies. Or some keep going until you find the one God has for you. So it's kind of a mishmash here. She says, I heard one pastor say that if you were divorced and remarry, you have to divorce your new spouse and live alone. My church has a few remarried couples, including my associate pastor, who divorced and remarried before he came to Christ. What is the truth? This is one subject that will divide a church and relationships. I'm very confused and tormented in a sense that I don't have a clear understanding. I'd like to know, thus saith the Lord, and not people's interpretation.
Well, that's a good question, and it really gets down to what we were talking about at the very beginning about the old covenant and the new covenant. God has never been in favor of divorce. He didn't institute marriage with the idea that people are going to walk away. It was a joining together of two people. They were to be one in flesh, just as we are one in spirit with Christ Jesus. So divorce is not something that God is in favor of. He never condones that, but he recognizes the hardness of our hearts and the difficulty that it is to live in a relationship with another human being in such a close context and close relationship of marriage. Mm-hmm. So under the law, he allowed for a writ of divorce to be granted. That wasn't his desire. But because of the hardness of the hearts of the people, he allowed that. And he did so in order to really protect the wife, the divorced wife, to grant her full standing in society. Otherwise, she would have been spurned and ostracized and treated like a second-class citizen. So God tried to protect the woman in that situation. Well, today, divorce happens, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It's just a part of life. It's difficult. And there are many, many reasons. And the divorce is just the culmination of a lot of things that have gone wrong in a relationship. So we focus so much on the divorce. Is divorce right or wrong? And we forget all the things that led up to the divorce. Is getting angry at your spouse right or wrong? Well, we do it, don't we? So it leads us to the point to realize that if anything positive, if anything good is going to happen, we need the power of Jesus Christ living inside of us. Rules and regulations and laws aren't going to put love in our heart and aren't going to enable us to treat each other with kindness and respect and those sort of things. Yeah. We need the power of Jesus Christ. So if somebody is divorced, you know, what's their plight from this point forward? Well, we have to put that in the hands of the Lord, and we have to rely on what the Lord has taught his people, and certainly Paul addressed that, and here's what he said. But if you do marry, you have not sinned, 1 Corinthians 7:28. And within this section, he speaks to three different groups. He speaks to virgins, those who have never been married before. He speaks to those who are unmarried. And to those who are unmarried, that's what he says. Do not look for a wife, but if you do marry, you have not sinned. So I think there's the word of God on the subject of divorce and remarriage. If you're divorced, does that mean you can never be remarried again? I think this particular passage speaks otherwise. But we need to take it out of the realm of is it right or wrong and put it into the realm of is it wise or unwise. There are many people who get divorced and immediately jump into a new marriage. Is that the right thing for them to do? No. It's a miserable experience, and they end up getting divorced a second time. And then, you know, they'll go to the third relationship and end up being divorced there. So they're not acting in wisdom. So we need to first connect ourselves to the love of Jesus Christ and allow the love of Christ to compel us in relationships as we move forward.
Yes, indeed. That's from Joanne, and we hope you're listening and hope that's been a help to you. Hope that clears up, because it can be sometimes when you hear mixed messages that it can be very confusing. So
Yes, and we get that question quite often. Yeah. I mean, this isn't the first time it's ever been asked.
Right.
I mean, why? Because many people are divorced, and they want to know, is it okay in God's sight to move forward into a new relationship?
Yeah.
We're asking it from a legalistic standpoint, from a law-based standpoint.
Exactly.
Let's start asking it from a new covenant perspective.
Yeah.
And I think if we ask it from a new covenant perspective, I think the confusion goes away. And we're attached to the wisdom of God, to the love of God, and we can know if we're being led by Him, then we can trust the decisions that we're going to make in regards.
Yeah. Good input, Bob. Plenty of open lines and plenty of time on the clock. We want to hear from you. That toll-free number, 844-32-BASIC.
Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk to Corey listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Corey.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing there?
Doing fantastic. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing great. Glad I caught your program real quick. I just happened to catch it when you were talking about the new covenant that Christ brought forward.
That's right.
But what I want to do to get some clarity on the commandments, I just want to make sure, were you saying that the commandments are done away with totally?
Well, the law stands. The law is the law, and it stands. Those 10 commandments, those are eternal, basically, as far as the truth contained in them. But our rule of life is in this new covenant today, and it's a higher law, so to speak. It's not a lesser law, it's a higher law. So what we have with Christ living in us is far superior than the old covenant. We have Jesus Christ inside of us. Back in those days, they had laws written on stone. That in and of itself makes the new covenant superior. We, in this new covenant, are to be led by the Spirit of God. So as we are led by the Spirit of God, He is going to lead us to do far more than what the old covenant required. So the old covenant said, don't commit adultery. In this new covenant, the Spirit of God teaches us how to love our wives as Christ loved the church. The old covenant said, do not lie or bear false witness. The Spirit of God living in us is going to teach us how to speak truth, how to speak the truth in love that will encourage and edify and build up and support another person. So do you see the difference there? So the Spirit of God is never going to lead you to violate the old covenant, but it's in love for others that we fulfill that. That's how Jesus fulfilled the old covenant. He didn't wake up and say every day, hey, I'm going to keep the Ten Commandments. He walked in love. And in walking in love, he never violated those ten.
Right. Well, you can understand basically the covenant was made with the children of Israel after they were released from oppression because they just kept going wayward. So that was just a little bit more binding ties to make sure they don't stray too far. But I do understand, though, that the word is God. The word is Jesus Christ. So that's basically him on those commandments, just a little bit more stricter. And what I understand, when if you do seek the truth and do a lot more studying, it will lead you to following the commandments more so, or and understanding why those words were a lot more important to follow.
Well, I think what it does for me, Corey, and I hope it will do for you, it will make Jesus more precious to you, his love for you, his grace for you, his mercy for you. I think you read the commandments, see them for what they are, see them in the light of God's grace. Jesus Christ will become more precious to you. This Word of God is Jesus. The Bible from cover to cover is God's testimony concerning his Son. And what God wants from you more than anything else, Corey, is for you to walk in a faith relationship with Jesus Christ. The disciples asked Jesus, what is the work of the ministry, or what are the works of the ministry? And Jesus answered by saying this, the work is to believe the one whom God sent. That's the work. And faith is far superior than following a list of rules, regulations, or laws. Faith is transcendent. Faith is something that is supernatural in origin. Faith is something that enables us to truly and genuinely love God and to love others as He has loved us. And that's what this whole Word of God is pointing us to on a day-to-day life. And if we will learn to trust Jesus, That's our prayer. Lord, teach me how to trust you in this situation. We can leave all the results of that in God's hands and know that it's going to be far superior than we could ever dream or imagine. Well, Corey.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely agree that, we have to follow God. Basically, that's ultimately what it is. People will get too off track with following rules at the same time. I think we should still follow the rules, too. But everyone's at a different stage, because I never followed the commandments all the time. Now I do. I try to do it almost to a T, but I understand God's will, and the reason why he's down here is to show us that love is the basis of what he created us for.
You got it, Corey. Hey, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Well, let's go back to New York and talk to Jose, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jose.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Okay, listen, I know that the Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And when I go to the book of James, chapter 2, it talks about Abraham being justified by not only faith, but not by faith alone, but also by works, when he offered his son Isaac in a sacrifice. Can you elaborate on that a little bit, please?
Well, James was trying to make a point that faith is more than just an understanding of the facts. It's more than just intellectual assent to a set of propositions. So we think, you know, if we quote the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed in church, that we are exercising faith. That's not faith. That's just attesting to some facts, some truths. Faith is a dynamic word. It's a word that incorporates hearing. So we have to hear the message of Christ. Then we believe, and that's becoming fully persuaded that it's true, and then living it out. And so that's what we see in the life of Abraham. He heard the word of God. He wrestled with it. He came to the point that it was true, and then he lived it out. That's the story of the sacrifice of Isaac. He came to a point where he truly believed that God had power over death. And so that belief enabled him to carry out the command of God to sacrifice Isaac. That's how all the New Testament writers kind of interpret that story in light of resurrection. This life, this faith is more than just hearing and saying, I believe that's true. It's more than coming to the point and saying, yeah, I believe George Washington was the first president of the United States. Well, that's a great fact to know, but is that fact affecting your life today? Not necessarily. So James is saying, I want you to truly live out what you say you believe. And that's the whole point of his book.
Right. So I agree with you on that. What he was trying to say is that Abraham, committing his son to the sacrifice, was acting in faith. He was acting in faith, although the work was bringing his son to the sacrifice. So actually, everything boils down to, although we are justified by works, but we are really saved by the faith. Faith is the substance that really saves us, not
Jesus
the
is the one who saves us. Salvation is always by grace through faith. So faith is simply the vehicle that grace works. I likened it to grace, or faith is the bridge that grace crosses to invade our lives and our human experience. So grace is what saves us. Jesus saves us.
Right.
And he does that through faith. So we need to keep faith in kind of its right perspective and elevate grace, exalt grace in the finished work of Jesus Christ. But Jose, there's a lot to this. So we believe that Jesus died for our sins. We believe that
Amen.
Forgiveness is available in Christ. Well, do we really believe that? And there's a lot of folks who give lip service to it, yet they don't believe it. And how do I know they don't believe it? Because their actions belie what their lips are saying. I believe Christ forgave me for my sins, and Lord Jesus, please forgive me. I'm going to do this. I'm going to promise you that I'm never going to do this. If you will just please forgive me. So we talk out of both sides of our mouths. Well, what does faith say? Jesus Christ did it. He finished his work. We're going to rest in it. We're going to thank him for the blood that he shed so that our sins could be taken away once and for all. We believe that we've been justified by faith. They're made righteous in the sight of God. But we keep trying to earn his favor. We keep trying to do things to earn his favor. It's time to live out what we believe, to rest in what Christ has accomplished. When we rest in what Christ has accomplished for us, then we can be real vehicles and vessels of his love in this world. If we don't rest in it, we're going to be vessels of judgment and condemnation toward others. We're not living out our faith. So James is trying to say, hey, this is real stuff. This is real life. Let it be real in your life.
Thank you very much for your explanation. I know that there's thousands of people that would benefit out of this explanation that you have gave. And thank you very much. Keep up the good work, okay?
Thank you, Jose. Thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes, we do. In just a moment, we're going to go talk to Martin, who's also in New York. But we want to just say that we're very, very thankful for and to the many of you who have stepped up to support this ministry as 2014 drew to a close. It's only because of you that we're able to be on the air every day, allowing others to hear, believe, and live the good news of the Lord Jesus. We have a lot to be grateful for, and what a privilege, as I've said many times, that we have as being ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So thank you, everybody, for helping us expand the basic gospel circle. Let's keep up the good work as we get into the new year.
Yes, indeed. And I tell you, you know, it's really time to get the word out.
Yes, absolutely.
That is what the world needs with all the problems that are going on, with all the heartache and suffering that people endure day in and day out. They're looking for good news. Well, where is that good news to be found? It's in the word concerning Jesus.
Yes.
We need to get that word out. What is that word? What does getting out that word mean? It means salvation, somebody going from death to life. Is that worth supporting? You bet it
Absolutely.
Is. It means broken marriages being restored. It means those bound up in emotions or religious bondage or go free. That's what it means. So help us get the word out. Help us reach people for Jesus Christ and connect them to the love and life of the Lord.
And you'll find a support link at basicgospel.net.
Well, thank you, Bob. Let's quickly go to Martin listening to us in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Martin.
Well, hello there. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. What's on your mind today?
Well, the Lord is so good.
Yes, he is.
Amen. Well, I have here, correct me if I'm wrong, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith, not by sight. How can we explain that to unbelievers?
Well, I would explain it this way. One, we can't see God. God is spirit. We can't see forgiveness. We can't see righteousness. We can't see this change of identity. We can't see this new birth. It's like the wind, as Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. We can't see it. We can only sense it coming and going. And I think that's what he's talking about, these eternal truths that God has brought to us in Jesus aren't things that we can see with our eyes, but they're more real than anything that we can see with our eyes. That's what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. Well, Martin, hope that helps. We're out of time on today's broadcast. I sure appreciate your call, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Friends, I want to remind you very quickly that there are many valuable resources available to you in our online store, and you'll find them at store.basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, Bob Davis, saying God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.